Good morning. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Happy New Year. I know that seems a little strange, but today is the last Sunday in ordinary time, the final day in our liturgical calendar, the church's New Year's Eve of sorts. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent and the beginning of Church Year C in the Revised Common Lectionary. The church calendar is a little bit different from the Gregorian calendar. Of course, as Christians, we are asked to view the world from a different perspective, including how we mark time. Today is also known as Christ the King Sunday. This is why our altar linens have been changed from green to white today. White being the color of Jesus' burial garments, we drape the altar in white to honor Jesus on Christmas, Easter, other feast days, as well as for marriages and funerals. Instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925, Christ the King Sunday celebrates Jesus' sovereign rule over all creation. And as we declared in our collect of the day this morning, Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is exactly what Pilate was questioning in today's gospel when he asks, "Are you King of the Jews? What have you done?" In other words, who are you? What are you doing? Jesus, in typical Jesus fashion, didn't answer directly, instead responding, "My kingdom is not from this world." What? How frustrating that must have been for Pilate. But Jesus was trying to explain that he transcends all understanding. In our wildest imaginations, we can never understand the full breadth and depth of Jesus. He's saying, "Let me be me. You can't fit me or my church inside your earthly box." Mary Erickson and I recently had the privilege of traveling with 9 others from across the Diocese of Wyoming to the Diocese of Leicester, England. For 2 weeks, we learned about fresh expressions of church. As you well know, the history and deep ties to the Anglican Church are part of the fabric of England. The magnificent architecture, stained glass windows, and sculptures are awe-inspiring. Each cathedral is a work of art and a call to worship. The taller the ceiling, the closer to God. Most of their churches are centuries old and are museums, art galleries, and places of worship wrapped into one. Everywhere you look, a story is being told. A story many hundreds of years in the making. But the Anglican Church, like most mainline Protestant denominations, has experienced a decline in membership and attendance. England is now entering the 4th generation of non-churched citizens. Parents and grandparents didn't attend church. Now my generation is not taking their children to church. The connection to and vocabulary of Christianity is waning. There's no guilt about not going to church on Sunday mornings. It's simply not part of everyday life. Our definition of church is not part of everyday life. 10 o'clock Sunday morning, reading ancient texts in ancient buildings, singing ancient hymns, is proving to be a stumbling block to the sacred for many. But that doesn't mean people don't hunger for faith. If each human being is created in the image of God and is a spiritual being, how do you connect the individual with the sacred outside of the framework of church? The Diocese of Leicester wrestled with that question and 12 years ago began exploring what it really means to be church. They looked at the DNA of church, not the structure of the service, and eventually created what they now call fresh expressions of church. There needed to be some scaffolding around that new idea, and they came up with 10 criteria for a fresh expression. And I won't go into all 10, but I've pulled out 4 of what they consider essential elements of church. First, the community needs to meet at least once a month. A consistent meeting time and place is necessary to create community and establish a routine for worship. Second, there is an intention to be church. The key is that it is not seen as a bridge back to real church, but as a church in its own right. Third, it is Anglican. In other words, it must have enough components that the bishop sees it as church. And fourth, there is some form of leadership recognized by those within the community and those outside of it. It is more than a group of people getting together. There is leadership and structure. The first half of our time in Leicester was spent mostly in the classroom, learning about the philosophy and concepts of fresh expressions, while the second half was spent in the field. Here's a small sample of what we experienced. We visited a weekly open mic jam session for homeless members of the community. Warm tea, fresh fruit, and cake were enjoyed as those struggling to survive sang and shared poetry, allowing them to forget their troubles and tap into their creativity, if only for an hour a week. We went to Campfire Church, where we baked bread over an open campfire. We told stories and sang songs, and then shared the warm, fresh bread together in community. We hopped on a convertible double-decker bus, which drives to a different neighborhood each evening for teens to gather, play video games, listen to music, and hang out with adults who will listen, laugh, and love. We went to the Diocesan Retreat Center, and rather than have Holy Communion in this spectacular 11th century chapel, we walked to an outdoor chapel, sat on wooden logs, and shared communion in the wind and mist, overlooking rolling green hills with sheep grazing in the fields. Going to these fresh expressions, I was struck by the risk the Church of England has taken to support and encourage these communities when so much of its wealth is tied up in real estate and historic buildings. If Pilate were to ask the Bishop of Leicester, "Who are you and what are you doing?" Bishop Martin might respond, "Yes, we are the church, and we don't always need walls." Now, I thought these fresh expressions were awesome, creative, forward-thinking, and outside of the box, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide the way and meet people exactly where they are. But there were members of our team who were less than thrilled, even threatened by fresh expressions. They were skeptical about calling these manifestations of faith church. What about the sacraments? How can you call it church if it's not facilitated by a priest? Where is God on a double-decker bus full of teenagers? These are good questions. And it's easy for me to get excited when I'm part of a thriving church with full pews, financial resources, and leadership that encourages risk-taking. We at St. John's are ahead of the game. We have dreamed together and given ourselves permission to be bold leaders in God's work in Jackson and beyond. Even if, and maybe especially if, that looks different and pushes the established boundaries. We recognize that great ideas, God ideas, require innovation, sometimes failure, tweaking, creativity, and a willingness to try new things. We know our ancestors never would have made it to Wyoming without a pioneering spirit and the determination to explore new and exciting ways of living and worshiping. However, some of the small rural churches across Wyoming are just trying to keep the lights on with a few aging parishioners. Taking a leap of faith, even for a church, is frightening. Failure is scary. But without the willingness to fail, we can never pioneer new and innovative ways of living. The Diocese of Leicester took that chance and has succeeded. Since its inception in 2006, 49 fresh expressions of church have been created in the Diocese of Leicester, comprising of almost 2,000 members. One-third of those members were not previously part of a church in any form at any time, or what we call non-churched. 40% were part of a church in their past, but had returned to Fresh Expression after a time, often many years away, or what we call de-churched. And only 25% were Christians when the Fresh Expression started, half of whom were a part of the team who started it. Those are pretty exciting numbers for churchy folk. Let's take the concept of Fresh Expressions and apply it to our individual selves. If we think of today as New Year's Eve, we have an opportunity to make New Year's resolutions. According to Statistica.com, the most common New Year's resolutions for 2018 were eat healthier, get more exercise, save more money, focus on self-care, and read more. Each one of these is focused on self. They are introspective, looking inward to be the best versions of ourselves we can be, which is vital. We need to be healthy and well-read with some money in the bank. But these resolutions are safe. Where's the dreaming? Where is the creativity and vulnerability of being unique? Not who society calls us to be, but who, created in God's image, we are made to be. Life sometimes gets in the way of our dreams, and we're frightened to step out of the boxes that we have created for ourselves. Jesus was described as the vine, the good shepherd, the light, the King of Kings. He was a friend, healer, storyteller, and teacher. Pilate argued that Jesus couldn't be all of those things. He had to pick one. Jesus didn't. He couldn't. Jesus wasn't one-dimensional, and neither are we. And neither is the church. We are dreamers, creators, and risk-takers. We are pioneers. As Christians, we are not tasked with maintaining the status quo. If the church is declining, we are called to reimagine. If our sense of self is diluted or stuck, we are called to recreate, even when it seems risky. It is much easier to say yes, but, rather than yes, and. Yes, but, this is the way we've always done church. Yes. We can have church at 160 North Glenwood on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, and we can gather a community once a month in the mountains to experience the sacred. Yes, but where is Jesus on a double-decker bus full of teenagers thumping hip-hop? Yes, you can have a bus full of teenagers, and you bet Jesus is on that bus too, building community and making friends. Yes, but I'm anxious to try something new. Yes, I am anxious to try something new, and I am willing to accept the challenge. It's time for us to embrace the and, for the larger church, for St. John's, and for ourselves. Happy New Year. Amen.